The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
Well, it's Friday, Americans. I'm glad you're here. So we can talk about Spartacus. I looked for a dead whale story that was put into a dumpster and didn't fit, but I couldn't find anything, so I got no choice but to start with Spartacus. Cory Booker, of course. He's got to be exhausted. I mean, all week. No, I'm telling you, I am Spartacus. And all the sacrifices that he's making. I mean, I'm glad I have, in today's world, a chance to point to my kids, real heroes. Son, he is Spartacus. And see that guy, you know, in the Nike ad? He's practically Martin Luther King. The sacrifice today is incredible. You know, but Spartacus is doing it for the greater good. You know, someone who's willing to step up and lead. But first, you have to create that I am Spartacus moment. And Cory Booker, I think, has done it. He's got to be exhausted between all of the grandstanding that he's been doing during the Kavanaugh, you know, hearings, and now out on the campaign trail, laboring, dare I say it, laboring in the fields for the Democrats, which is really the way the Democrats like that. But anyway, Democrats, he's out there for you in Nevada, bringing out, you know, the rubbing of elbows, you know, with the common folk, you know, all of them, I'm sure, wearing a bracelet that says WWSD. What would Spartacus do? Well, I think we know. Spartacus would run for president. Now, Cory Booker, I think New York Magazine had to pull this out of him. They asked him, brave question. So, would you think about running for the presidency? What is the humble Cory Booker, the man who you had to practically drag the I am Spartacus out of him. What was his response? Quote, of course, the presidency is something I would consider. It would be irresponsible not to consider it. It would be irresponsible not to consider it. You know, when the people speak like this, I mean, and you are graced with being Cory Booker, it is really irresponsible for me not to consider leading the peasants out of their plight. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing quite like old-fashioned virtuous martyrdom. I haven't seen it since Jesus, and it's when it's authentic like it was with Jesus and Cory Booker, it's stunning. Now, if you're Cory Booker, I don't think you need to paint yourself as such a responsible, sacrificial guy when you get the New York Magazine profiles, especially the one like this. The actual headline is, can I get a hug? Cory Booker's got a lot of love to give, and he's betting that's what it's going to take to win in 2020. Oh, my gosh. So he has responsibility. He's Spartacus, and he has a lot of love. I mean, Democrats, you got to just skip the whole convention process and hand the nomination to Cory Booker right now, because I think he's the one to beat Donald Trump. Oh, it's going to work. Take that again. Stations, edit that part out. I think it's going to work. After all, he's Spartacus. Now, the New York Magazine puff piece doesn't stop at the headline. It goes further. It compares Booker to Mr. Rogers. And Booker, I'm quoting, Booker is radically, almost comically out of step with Trump's kind of politics. On a human level he's an unlikely person. I mean, he is, unlike anybody else who has made this serious bid for the presidency in our in our lifetime, he's probably the most genuine.
Wow.
I don't think he's Spartacus. He may be God. So, in addition to being the most responsible pro-hug human being ever to grace the campaign trail, ever, at least in our lifetime, Booker also has the amazing vision for the country. He wants to legalize marijuana nationwide, which I think is on the top of everybody's list. Go ahead, say it. Try to deny it. You can't. He wants to provide Medicare for all, which is what we said that Barack Obama was leading us into, because Obamacare wouldn't work, and so we would be stuck with universal government health care, you know, Medicare for all. And they called me a racist for saying that. Well, maybe it's because I wasn't Spartacus. He also wants to guarantee federal jobs for every American that needs one. Now, as a junior senator, that is not easy to pull off. But as Spartacus, as President Spartacus, last night, I believe, even Spartacus wept. Most wept with joy. But I think he wept without out and out fear. Because, of course, we all know the only one that could possibly beat Spartacus just might be the next president of the United States, Baker Mayfield.
It's Friday, September 21st. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Are we pandering to Cleveland? Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing today? Is it?
You tell me that there isn't some politician, somebody in the Democratic Party, before they realized he was from Texas, somebody in the Democratic Party that didn't see that last night went, he could win Ohio.
Put him on VP. Throw him on there as VP.
Let's talk to him. I bet they were on the ground before they had that chain off of the Bud Lights.
Yeah.
I think they were on the ground. Nancy Pelosi's like, get me a plane. Get me a plane.
He wouldn't constitutionally qualify, of course, but when has that ever stopped a Democrat before?
Why would he constitutionally qualify?
He's got to be 35 to be president of the United States.
Oh, we don't care about stuff like that.
Oh, okay. That's good.
No.
What we care about
he's the guy who can lead us out of the darkness. I think he's from Texas, but then again, you know, for the heck of it, I throw in so is what's his name? Robert Francis.
Oh, Robert Beto. Francis O'Rourke?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We don't like to call him Beto on this network.
Oh, wee little Roberto Francis Beto.
I'm so glad you brought up Cory Booker to start the show. Mm-hmm. I am absolutely fascinated by the way he is handling the current situation with Brett Kavanaugh. Because here is a guy who is currently saying, we must find out the truth about this accusation that has been made against Brett Kavanaugh, that he may, back 36 years ago, have groped a girl when he was a teenager. Mm. And that's a serious accusation. We must know the answer to it. Now, there's no evidence supporting it, right? But there is, like, her accusation, and it should be aired out, and we should know exactly what's going on. And so he's been the one, like, at the top of the list calling for this and harassing, Kavanaugh to try to get him to be pressured into saying something stupid or stepping down.
Now, is he saying that if you did something like this, you can't, of course, serve in a position of power like Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, how could you, Glenn? I mean, you're one of nine there. You understand? You're one of nine in a very important role. And if you can't show the judgment to stop groping people when you're a teenager, obviously you should not be in a position of power
one of
like
nine would
that.
Be,
one of nine
right,
would be bad.
One of nine.
One bad. Of nine would be bad. Mm-hmm. Now, it's an interesting thing, as everybody expects. Even he's basically telling you he's running for president in 2020. Mm-hmm.
Which is one of one. I just want to...
One of one, right?
Just
it would be
one
even
of one.
A higher level gig than the Supreme Court.
Right.
He himself has admitted to groping a 15-year-old girl when he was a teenager. The exact same thing Brett Kavanaugh is accused of, Cory Booker has admitted to in his own writings. Not only has he admitted to them, he's done it more recently than Brett Kavanaugh is accused of doing it.
Oh, my God.
What is, which is kind of interesting. The other thing
No, it's interesting to you as a conservative. It's interesting to half of the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a racist smear to the other half.
Really?
And completely irrelevant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little like Keith Ellison.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, well, exactly. I think they, I think I can understand. Mm-hmm. I think I can understand how Democrats look at these stories. When Cory Booker does it, you know, of course, it's racist to point it out. If Keith Ellison does it, there's no evidence of that. I mean, except for the text messages, the videotape,
the documentation,
the audio,
from the hospital, it looks like now.
Documentation from the hospital. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's not credible.
Right, exactly. Now, with Brett Kavanaugh, there is no indication outside of her saying it this year. Remember, people are like, oh, well, she said it in 2012. She said something happened in 2012. She did not name Brett Kavanaugh in 2012. And it was also recorded with the wrong number of accusers in 2012. So the idea that story is the same is highly questionable at all. But it's okay. Let's say it's happened in 2012. Cory, 1982. Cory Booker in 1984 wrote about a story. It was New Year's Eve, 1984. He said, as we fumbled upon the bed, he's dealing with a girl here. I remember debating my next move as if it was a chess game, with the Top Gun slogan ringing in my head. Back to that in a second. I slowly reached for her breast. After having my hand pushed away once, I reached my mark. He goes on to say, next week in school, the girl he groped told me she was drunk that night and didn't know what she was doing. Remember, she's 15 at the time of this incident. He also then later on wrote in 1992 about this incident. He had written, I raised my noble pen. He was Spartacus even back then. I raised my noble pen to address the issue of date rape. And then I realized that the person holding that pen wasn't so noble after all. Again, he's essentially admitting to date rape in the column. With this issue, as with so many others, a dash of sincere introspection has revealed to me a dangerous gap, a gap between my beliefs and my actions.
Spartacus, tell me it's not so.
Say it ain't so, Sparty. It's interesting to look at this, too, for multiple reasons. And I think, you know, look, would you say, what's the only difference here would be, in theory, if Brett Kavanaugh had done this, well, Cory Booker's admitted it, and maybe he had dealt with the problem. Of course, that's, we all know if in 1992 Brett Kavanaugh had written a story just like this about how he groped a woman, this would be a huge issue, and he'd be in real trouble in the Supreme Court because the Democrats would take that standard that they're not applying to Cory Booker and apply it to Brett Kavanaugh. But this
the Democrats. Hang on just a second.
Sure,
that's not necessary. You don't know.
I do know.
Because no, you don't.
100%
you don't know.
Certitude.
Because the Democratic leadership might have been so busy beating their girlfriend and berating her they may not have noticed.
That's certainly possible. Okay. I think we have to keep that possibility open after the news.
Yes.
But here's another thing that's really bothering me about this story.
Mm-hmm.
Cory Booker says, I remember debating my next move as if it were a chess game. With the Top Gun slogan ringing in my head, I slowly reach for her breast. What on earth is the Top Gun slogan? Does anyone have any idea what the Top Gun slogan is? If you were to say, what is the Top Gun slogan, what would be ringing in your head? I mean, he meant the theme song.
I don't know. You'll never,
right?
You'll never age. You'll never age like that guy on the screen.
It's possible.
I think he's made a pact with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What is the Top Gun slogan?
As far as I can tell, there's no such thing as the Top Gun slogan. I'm thinking he might have meant the Top Gun theme, right? The kind of the that sort of 80s guitar solo played while they're like walking towards the plane. Maybe that. I don't know. Or Highway to the Danger Zone, which apparently it could be that as well. The problem with Cory Booker's memory here, and it's interesting, is we claim this woman in 1982 remembers this incident perfectly. She, of course, knows everything. Now, she doesn't know where it was. She doesn't know what house it was at. She doesn't know how she got to the house. She doesn't know what month it was in. But she remembers this so vividly. This vivid recollection is what it's been called.
Yes, I know.
Right. You remember this? Now, this is only this is not 36 years after the incident for Cory Booker. It's 8 years after the incident. 1994, and he's writing about it in 1992. With the Top Gun slogan ringing in my head, I slowly reached for her breast. The minor issue here, in 1984, Top Gun would not come out for 18 months. Top Gun came out in 1986. He couldn't have possibly known what the Top Gun slogan was because it wasn't
a thing. That might have just been literary from his noble pen.
That's true.
He had a noble pen, and sometimes noble pens do that.
They do.
And you know what? The pen is really not his weapon of choice. Spartacus uses a spear.
The pen is mightier than the spear, Glenn. All know that.
Okay, all right.
His noble and autonomous pen essentially made all of these mistakes and admitted to date rape. But no, let's hear his criticism of Brett Kavanaugh, who has not admitted to anything.
Well, I'm sure he's going to. Soon as he answers to all of the charges and her testimony, you know, before her testimony.
They are saying, by the way, she may testify next week now.
I know, and we've got to go over the conditions that she's laid out, because I think they're very reasonable. He has to answer to her testimony before she speaks and testifies.
Defense which I always think goes first. That's how trials always work.
Of course it does.
Always work.
Of course it does. Can you answer the charges that have not been stated yet? No, I can't. Your Honor, he cannot answer to the charges. All right, our sponsor this half hour is Casper. I cannot wait. I get onto a plane today and I leave beautiful, sunny California. I was going to say miss you, but let's just move on from here. So we're flying back home and I get a sleep on my Casper mattress tonight, which I am very excited about. I can sleep all the way through. Here's an idea. I can sleep Casper mattress. Switch to a Casper mattress. If you're looking for a new mattress, at least try it. High quality mattress at a very affordable price. You will sleep cool and comfortable every night. When you sleep away from your Casper mattress, I think you appreciate it even more. I know I do. Casper will ship free in a small little box right to your door. You open up the box. Warning. It's like the, can of snakes. Open it up where you want your mattress. You open it up. You sleep on it. Sleep on it for 100 nights. If you don't love it, you call them up and say, I don't like this. And they'll come and they'll pick it up and refund every penny. Casper. Go to casper.com/Glenn. Casper. Did I just threaten myself with slashing? Casper.com/Glenn. And use the promo code GLENN for $50 off the purchase of the select mattress. That's Casper.com/Glenn. Somebody call the FBI and investigate this, because he's making threats against himself. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Welcome to the program. It is... It's great to be here. Stu.
Yes.
I thought last night Cleveland, the team with the brown costumes.
Yeah. You know your sports. I'm curious, were you kidnapped last night and forced to watch the game? Why do you know who Baker Mayfield is? Why do you know?
Because I get up in the morning. I get up in the morning and I read things. I read things that other people don't read. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, no one in Cleveland was interested in that game.
No. I read things like the New York Times. I read things like the Huffington Post. And then I also read, of course, all the stuff that I usually read on the right. And I am not a complete imbecile. I do pay attention to the world of sports when it is about sports. Now, I think we have a gift from Cleveland. We have a story that is not political yet. This is the greatest. This moment doesn't happen. That right now there are no political ties to it. Although I do believe Bud has made a huge mistake.
Bud Light?
Huge mistake. Bud Light. They just tweeted Mayfield, first in his line, breaker of chains. Oh boy. Oh, funny.
Oh no.
But oh boy,
Glenn,
here we go.
Beck, Mercury.
By the way, I'm just tweeting Addicted to Outrage Starter Kit. You can check it out right now at glennbeck.com. And it's just a little kit that will show you exactly, you know, if you're new to the outrage thing, if you're new to the postmodernism game, I found a little video for you today. And it's a great way to begin your outrage and teach yourself how to be pissed off about things that absolutely do not matter at all. So what I've posted is a little picture of a bug. Don't know what kind of bug it is, but it is one of God's animals. And it's on a white piece of paper. And it's kind of fascinating because this bug can't move on the white piece of paper if you draw a black line on it. It sees it as a barrier. So somebody did you ever see anything like this? Are you watching this still?
Yeah, it's very strange.
Is it strange?
Yeah.
I did not know that. So what I have tweeted here is, you know, your starter kit. If you want to, you know, want to addict others to outrage, you want to be outraged, and you just want to start to have some real fun screaming and calling people names, what you do is first thing you do, step one, watch the video. Step two, notice that the guy holding the pen is white. Step three, notice the white man's domination and use of animals for his sick, cruel game, using them as playthings, trapping them. Four, tweet outrage. Make sure you use labels. Mention all appropriations, triggers, etc. Then the most important step is, do not allow yourself to dismiss this video. Do not allow yourself just to go, huh, and move on. Don't allow yourself to even be sucked into the lies that it's a stupid bug and a guy with a pen who noticed something kind of cool. Don't. And respond with even greater charges to responses. So there's your starter kit for outrage today. I want you to see the little bug. You can follow me at Glenn Beck and tweet your outrage and get it all out. Mm. You know, let's get to the bottom, really, of this oppression, of this poor little animal that this white man is torturing.
My understanding is that in 1983, Brett Kavanaugh not only did drew a bunch of lines and made the bug avoid the lines because they thought there were barriers, he drew a complete circle around the bug. The bug believed it was trapped.
Oh my gosh. So he went insane. Mm-hmm. The bug probably went insane. You know, it's I didn't want to mention this during the 2012 election, but Mitt Romney cares so little, you know, that he cares so little about animals because he tied his dog, probably not even in a cage, just tied him to the roof of his car as the family went on vacation, you know, back in the 70s, you know, as if that's not enough. I didn't bring it up, and I feel bad that I didn't bring this up. Now, I don't remember where this happened. I don't know exactly when this happened. I don't even know what kind of dog he had. You know, and I have no witnesses, but I saw him stop on the roadside someplace in America, some summer or winter or sometime, and he was killing animals. He was killing animals with tweezers. I saw him do it.
Oh my gosh.
He was cruel.
I believe it.
He would take these animals. They were just riding on the back of his dog, and he would take these animals and he would pluck them off with a tweezer, and then he would set them on fire.
Really?
That's, yes, that's mm-hmm. what he did.
Well, and you know,
that's
you,
what he did.
You didn't have the strength to bring up that allegation in 2012, but thankfully.
Well, people don't think ticks are people, too.
No, that's true.
And mm-hmm. and we all know now that that's just a lie.
Luckily, you brought it started up before his Senate election, and now we can stop him from entering the Senate in Utah.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I hate to say it, Mitt, but that's the mark of a serial killer, don't you think? Picking any animal and, with tweezers, torturing them, picking them up, making sure, don't leave the head there when you pick them up. Who says that? And then set them on fire.
Bad
and calling
people.
Them names. Mm-hmm. Taking this animal and just calling it a bloodsucker. I mean, that's sick. That is sick.
It really is. Did you see this Kavanaugh? Glenn, did you see this Kavanaugh poll real quick? Just to wrap that up, I know we were talking about it last break. So they asked the question, do you think the allegation of sexual assault against Kavanaugh generally is or is not credible? Do you think
so,
it's...
So, you know, Liz, what's amazing mm-hmm. is the difference between men and women on this poll. Because you look at the men and you're like, look at them. Look at them.
Bastards.
What was it? Like mm-hmm. 26, 28%?
28% of men think...
You're like...
Only think...
Of course, you know... Go ahead.
28% believe it's credible of right. men. That's unbelievable.
Only
28.
Only 28%. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because it at least 68% of men have raped women at some point in their life.
So you're taking a stance that that there's a man that has not raped a woman? That's the
I know I don't mean to be controversial. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with the blowback on that. Every man is raped. Maybe these are men who have, who have atoned for it.
Mm, that might be it. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about this...
Or they're Nazis, because mm-hmm. there's at least 28% of men that are Nazis.
Right.
But go ahead.
When it comes to women, so it's 28% of men find the Kavanaugh allegation credible.
Look at this one, America.
Only 25% of women believe it's credible. Women believe it's credible than men, according to the poll, which was done by the Huffington Post.
That is the most incredible thing I've heard. I read that yesterday afternoon, and I saw the Huffington Post. Mm. Only 25% of women believe this.
I would love to know if I'm alone in this. In that, that is completely consistent with the people I have talked to in just regular anecdotal life about the Me Too movement since it began. It's I every time I hear I can't believe, the typical thing you'd expect from some Me Too denier. Women do this stuff all the time. I used to know women who do this. I know a woman who did this to some man that she wanted revenge on. Blah, 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 blah.
Women are much worse on women.
Always women saying it. It's incredible. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if it's because men might believe the same thing but are terrified to say anything about it, or they might know those mm-hmm. same stories but they don't want to bring it up because it's going to cause them problems. Mm-hmm. But women are much more likely, I've found at least, to willingly offer the opinion unprompted. Like, it's not like I go to parties and I'm like, hey, by the way, let's talk about the latest developments in the Me Too movement. This is something that women are bringing up because it's a big issue in their lives. And constantly I hear my friend in high school, my friend in college, this girl I used to know at work, blah, 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 blah. Same types of things, saying they've, faked pregnancies and accused them of things they didn't do and said they were too drunk when they weren't and all of these things. And look, women are awful. So are men. We're all awful. We all do awful things. The idea that you should believe all women because of their genitals is a ridiculous idea. Of course there's bad women, and of course there's bad men. We know all of these things to be true, and yet we're asked to deny, and this is, I think, Glenn, to your point about and you were making your book pitch a minute ago, it's postmodernism in action. We're all supposed to deny these things that we know are true. Everybody knows that there are good people, good men, good women, bad women. We all know it. So to say you should believe a gender based on the idea that they've got a certain set of private parts is not only insulting, but it's completely against all that we know of human nature. And that's postmodernism.
Let me show you the subtle manipulation of opinion in America and in the mainstream media. Let's play CNN Ask Women If They Believe Kavanaugh. So Randy Kay from CNN goes to Florida and asks five, not women, five Republican women asking if they believe Kavanaugh. Here's the audio tape.
A show of hands. How many of you believe Judge Kavanaugh when he says this didn't happen?
I believe him.
I believe him.
How can we believe the word of a woman of something that happened 36 years ago when this guy has an impeccable reputation? It wasn't nobody that has spoken ill will about him. Everyone that speaks about him, this guy's an altar boy, you know, a scout. He's, you know, because one woman made an allegation. Sorry, I don't buy it.
Why would she come forward if this wasn't true? Because it has basically destroyed her family. She's had to move. She's gone undercover. She's gotten death threats. So if she's lying, why come forward?
She's also destroying his life, his wife's lives, his children's lives, his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, why didn't she come out sooner if she's telling the truth?
Why didn't she come out when he was going into the Bush White House? Why didn't she come out when he's been a federal judge for over a decade?
Does something that allegedly happened some 30 plus years ago matter today?
You can't judge the character of a man based on what he did at 17.
And I would hate to think that 30, 40 years later, somebody's going to destroy your life because somewhere at some party, it's not right. But maybe you touch somebody the way you were not supposed to.
Okay, so why would CNN do this? Why would CNN talk to just five Republican women? Well, because for a couple of reasons. So you can have people watch and go, look at those damn Republicans. I am so much better. We as Democrats, we are so much better than those guys. Look at them making excuses, yada, yada, yada. That sounds pretty good. Why, again, wouldn't you ask all the American people? Why wouldn't you put three Democrats, three Republicans? Probably because only 25%. If you put four Republicans in Democrats in a room, it's very, very likely that still only one quarter of them, because by population, 25% of women. So you can't just ask random women, because only one out of four believe it. So instead, get five people, make sure they're Republicans, because then they'll be the only ones seen on television denying it, which leaves you the impression, oh my gosh, look at these Republicans. They'll just say and do anything.
That's a great point. It's amazing, too. I love the question that she just had no idea. She can't even think of a reason. Why? Now, again, I don't know the allegation. I don't know that this is her motivation. But of course, we can all guess if she is making it up. Let's just say for a moment, let's consider the possibility that it's not true. I know this is not something the media has done in any way, but let's consider the possibility that it's not true. Can you think of why she might do it? Can you think of why she might do it, even though it ruins her family? Well, why would she do it, Glenn? Can you think of any outlying possibility, any crazy theory as to why someone would fake an allegation about a Supreme Court justice a week before he's going to be confirmed and a couple months before an election that might overturn the possibility of a Republican Supreme Court? What can you think
of
anything?
I'm having a hard time, but let me just throw this. Let's throw this on the table just for consideration. She was a co-signer of a letter back earlier in the summer. She works for an organization that takes millions of dollars from George Soros's Open Society specifically to stop Brett Kavanaugh from becoming Supreme Court justice.
I don't get the tie. I can't. Okay, you think okay, of any, right. It's ruining her family. Why would she do such a thing?
I know. Okay, because she's a possibility of being a zealot for, you know, the Democratic progressive left that, you know, just wants to smear anybody who could possibly overturn Roe versus Wade, which would make her a hero.
Right.
Of course.
Take your morals out of this for a second, Glenn. Say you're completely you're a Washington operative, right? A bad person. Don't care about morals. Don't care about that. You care about the ends justifying the means. Right. Let's just say that I'm not saying that this is this person, but to create an idea of that, of how stupid that question is. If you had no morals and didn't care, you had no scruples, you don't care about destroying someone else's life. You don't care about lying. Why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you fake an allegation? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. There's not going to be repercussions. They will embrace her on the other side. They're still, to this day, embracing people who have fake. Al Sharpton is still saying he wasn't wrong about Tawana Brawley. Still.
So I think, to be less pessimistic than you, I don't even think you have to have no scruples. You just have to believe in abortion and women's rights to the point to you're willing to sacrifice anything for it.
And it's just that means.
You will go out saying, well, I am Spartacus. Let me tell you now about Tika Tiwari and Palm Beach Letter. Tika Tiwari is running a crypto course with us. 97% of the people who have taken the crypto course have given a 4 or 5 star rating. 97%. People have been asking us for a long time, what is blockchain? How does it work? What is cryptocurrency? Why do you think that this is such a game changer? How would be a game changer? What's happening to Bitcoin? Well, we have the answers for you. It's an education course right now, and Tika Tiwari is one of the leaders in this field, and he will tell you exactly what all of that stuff is, how it works, and why it's important. Whether you invest in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency is up to you. Everyone, I think, should have at least $100 in Bitcoin. This, whatever it is that you can afford to lose, let's like go into Vegas, put it in Bitcoin. But you need to understand why it's going to change the world. 877-PBL-BECK. 877-PBL-BECK. Go there now and take the Smart Crypto Course or go to smartcryptocourse.com. Unbelievable. Someone take the president's phone away from him. Please. President has just tweeted a couple of things about Brett Kavanaugh's accuser. And then Joe Biden tweets, you know, the Brett Kavanaugh is, it's like watching Deliverance. Oh, dear. Cacocracy. Look it up. Cacocracy. That's what we're living
Glenn
in now.
Beck. Mercury.
Glenn Beck is coming live to talk about the right path forward and to make fun of the people standing in the way. He might not be able to save the country, but at least we can all go down laughing. Glenn Beck Live, the Addicted to Outrage Tour. On tour this fall.
Glenn Beck.
Let's start with Bill O'Reilly on his program in just a second. Bill O'Reilly coming up. This week we've been in the City of Angels, broadcasting directly from Los Angeles. This is Southern California. As I grew up in Seattle, Washington, I always wanted to live in California. I still kind of do. If Sacramento was not part of California, if they would just take all of the politicians and the politics and Hollywood and move them to New York, I would love to live here. But I don't know how people do it. I really don't. God bless you. There's so many conservatives here that just don't admit that they're conservative. Just keep it quiet. This is home to some of the most pompous virtue signaling liberals in the entire nation, maybe the entire world. The virtue signaling here is off the charts. Even the French say, "Well, they're a little snotty, huh?" They don't just talk about how incredibly awesome and more virtuous than they are than the rest of us. They back it up by regulating the crap out of everything. Some of the most ridiculous laws you've ever heard. Some of my favorites. It's a crime to ride a bicycle in a swimming pool. Which is kind of a, bummer because I like to swim and bike and I don't have the time. So I like to do it both at the same time. You know, there's nothing like riding your BMX in a pool. It's just for people who are super athletic like me. 2, illegal to curse on a mini golf course. Is it possible to play golf, any form of golf, and not curse? 3. Dogs are not allowed to mate within 500 yards of a church or a school. I know, I've been talking to my dog. Do you realize how close we are to a school? Stop humping that other dog. You break this law. You break this law and you fine. You face a $500 fine and or 6 months in prison. By the way, Your Honor, I wasn't humping near the school. The dog was. Why am I going to prison? If you're a pooch trotting along, near a church or a school, and you happen to hear the sweet melodic sounds of Barry White, and all of a sudden that poodle is walking in slow motion, stay away, man. Run for the cold swimming pool, as long as there's not a bike in it. This is California. The biggest and probably most economically challenging and damaging laws are the environmental laws. Kind of like the new law that makes it illegal to take a shower and do your laundry on the same day. Oh, this is great. Don't laugh. That's a real law. How about the stringent emission laws that corporations have to deal with? But it's kind of funny for all the fierce rhetoric that comes from everybody in Hollywood, to the San Fernando Valley regarding the climate change and militant environmentalism. Because I'm here this week and this place looks like a crap hole. I mean, it's dirty, nasty, garbage everywhere. Have you walked down, Hollywood Boulevard? Wow, that's lovely. I mean, if you can make it by, honest to God, in Hollywood doing some business this week, walking down, everybody's like, is that guy smoking crack? Of course he is. Of course he is. Everybody's smoking crack. Try taking a drive down the 405 or any freeway in the LA area. Bumper to bumper, it's a mess. You want to roll your windows down because it's so nice, but no, you really don't because of all of the earth-saving chemicals that are being pumped out of the back of that bus. So, what is the after effect of all of these virtuous laws? It's making things better, right? Several years ago, the state of California offered drivers of low or zero emission cars for the opportunity to drive in the carpool lane. All they had to do was just do one thing. They wanted to encourage more people to buy electric cars, saving the environment. Now, it just happens that they also gain some revenue by, having to buy those cute little zero emissions carpool eligible permits that they put on the car, but that didn't have anything to do with it. California is not looking to bilk its people. No, it's not. Which brings me to the newest law of California. Remember those little stickers that you had to buy so you could, buy a really expensive car, overpay for it, and then drive in the carpool lane? Well, the legislature has just passed a new law stating that the low emission carpool decals that you purchased, those ones are no longer valid. And so don't use the carpool lane unless you want to come back to the state today, because they have a brand new low emissions sticker for your car. Now, again, I mean, they're doing this just because it saves something for the environment. It has nothing to do with the state making more money. Has absolutely nothing to do with that. More money on the registration fees, which are coming, are now the highest in the country, coming from a state with the highest taxes. The money on the new low-emission carpool permit, yep, they like that. And the sales tax if you buy a new car. So the state's getting richer, Californians are getting poorer, and all in the name of environmentalism and climate change. But it's all for the virtue, right? Has anybody noticed that the cities that are run by progressives for decades are hell holes? Has anyone ever noticed that? It's hard not to when you're in some places in California, and don't even get me started with Pooperoni on the streets of San Francisco.
It's Friday, September 21st. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I've been tracking what they call dark money. Now, dark money is...
racist.
...are donations that flow into groups that target people for destruction. I'm a good example. All right? One of the groups that attacked me was called Color of Change. Okay? Now, no idea they show up with signs, get O'Reilly out, fire O'Reilly. They were funded. They were paid to do it. Okay? It took us a while to track it, but that's what happened. There are literally dozens of these groups, most of them on the left, the far left. I guess the conservatives have a few of them, but I'm not really aware of them. This is a far left movement led by George Soros, the billionaire, to funnel money into various agencies to destroy people with whom the far left disagrees. Judge Kavanaugh.
So Bill O'Reilly started in on this yesterday. We talked about it yesterday as well. But in case you missed it, we wanted to get Bill O'Reilly on and compare notes on what he has seen with Judge Kavanaugh and the George Soros money and how it ties to Dr. Ford. Welcome to the program, Bill O'Reilly.
All right, Beck, let me put down my copy of Addicted to Outrage. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been reading it at 6 in the morning. Very good. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We're in a time now where I think it's a tipping point. It'll be interesting to see how this Kavanaugh thing comes out, but I think people are paying attention. Here's my question. Who's paying... Dr. Ford's lawyers, Christine Ford's lawyers, who's paying? She's not paying them. Who's paying them? Why isn't the press looking into that? Who's behind this movement? These lawyers are radical leftists. Why did she hire them? If you were an aggrieved American, the first law firm you're going to go to is somebody that is tied in with George Soros. Katz, her main lawyer, works on a foundation that Soros basically funds. This is where you're going? So none of it adds up, and people have got to pay attention to it.
So, Bill, I have the American people have just been... A Huffington Post poll has been taken of the American people. 28% of men believe her. Only 25% of women believe her. Out of that number of the 25%, how many do you think are only saying this? How many actually do you think actually believe her? And how many are just political zombies?
Beck, I can't possibly answer that. I mean, it's speculation, but what I can tell you is this. You mentioned the virtuous left out in California. And that's who's driving Judge Kavanaugh's guilty, even though they have no blanking clue whether he's guilty or not. But because they feel good about destroying Kavanaugh, primarily because of abortion, they can say whatever they want to say. Due process, no. Did you hear the other night, Beck, that Chris Cuomo on CNN said, you know what, due process, presumption of innocence, that's just in courts. That's not really in American society. That's not in our...
Where does Chris Cuomo think we got the laws?
Right,
we codified what society feels is right and just, wrote it down and said, this is who we are.
It's worse than that. The founding fathers fought a war because they wanted a just society because King George wasn't just in their opinion. And part of the just society is, unlike France, which has a Napoleonic code that you're guilty until proven innocent, you're innocent until proven guilty, not just in a court of law, but in society. You can't be pointing fingers at people going, prove you're not a rapist. I mean, it's but this is what it is. You're on CNN, and there he is at 9 o'clock, and he's a lawyer. You know, don't. Give me that we should be giving anybody the presumption of innocence. Oh, no. No, we want to be a Stalin-esque society that if Joseph feels that you're disloyal, he can put a bullet in your head. That's what we want to be in America.
I just started reading The Trial by Kafka last night. But I only picked it up because if I remember right, the trial is about a guy who all of a sudden is accused of something, stands trial. He doesn't know what he's even accused of. And he's going through a trial. This struck me last night as I saw one of her conditions was that Kavanaugh had to answer to the charges before she testified.
Right. I mean, this
how is that
so
even?
Control,
how is that just or fair?
So out of control. And this is what you've seen in colleges when you had any student who was accused of anything had to go before a star chamber, and they would basically thrown out before any evidence was presented.
Right.
And this is what Chris Cuomo wants. And I'm going to read that Kafka book right after I finish Addicted to Outrage.
Wow. I appreciate that, Bill. And I really, truly do believe that you got up at 6 to read it this morning, too. With everything in me, I believe that. All right. Bill O'Reilly. Hang on just a second from BillO'Reilly.com. His book is coming out, and I noticed on Amazon the algorithm says they're frequently bought together. Bill O'Reilly's new book on the death of the Nazis, which is just riveting, and my book, which I think is even more riveting, a little smarter, bigger words in mine, I think. Word of the day, bigger words. I have some of the best words. Anyway, you can find it now anywhere books are sold. The audiobook is great, Addicted to Outrage. All right, for most Americans, their home is their biggest investment that you're ever going to make. And, you know, we go to investment advisors and we, you know, they have these big offices and, you know, because we're investing money for our retirement. But so many times we'll go to somebody who's like a cousin or a friend of a friend or somebody who's doing real estate part-time. What are we thinking? Real estate is your biggest investment of your life. So when you want to buy or sell a home, get an expert. Get somebody, look at this as the business transaction that it is, and get somebody who knows the value of your home, knows how to sell it, knows how to market it, knows how to present it. Not somebody who's doing it part-time or a relative, but somebody who in your area has the best track record. That's what realestateagentsitrust.com is all about. We have over, what, I think 1,500 agents now nationwide. Their word is their bond. They are the experts in the area. They'll know your area and exactly how much your house is worth and how things are selling and what you have to do to move yours. Also, if you're moving to a new area, these people listen to you. And they can help you find a new house. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now, realestateagentsitrust.com. So, Bill O'Reilly, what do you think about the woman who has really no evidence at all, no one backing up her story? Her friend that said, oh, I heard a buzz about this. Later, the next day, said she was empowered by the internet to say those things. She doesn't know if it's true, and she doesn't want to talk about it, and she deleted the tweet. That's as good as it gets. You have a he said, she said, and this woman is coming on, and she is demanding that the GOP, you know, does a few things. She said Kavanaugh has to testify first. There are no outside counsels that can question her. She wants them to subpoena Mark Judge, and she has to have her safety guaranteed. First, the last one? Okay, fine. What do you think of the other ones?
Ridiculous. Look, I appointed all of my viewers on BillO'Reilly.com as jury members for a civil case regarding the Kavanaugh situation. I said the preponderance of evidence is what you have to rule on. And here's the evidence. When this happened, allegedly happened, 36 years ago, was anybody told about it? Okay. Who would be told about it? The parents? Of course, right? If this happened and the way she describes it, you would tell your parents. You would assume. Or your brother, or your sister, or your best friend. You start there. Why was no one told? No school report,
so
nothing.
You could make the case that, you know, a woman, and especially a 15-year-old girl, is embarrassed. I brought it on myself. I don't want to tell my parents because I was drunk.
I have a 15-year-old. I don't know anyone being assaulted who wouldn't tell anyone. I'm sorry. I just don't. It's just not human nature. And then all those years, you don't tell anybody. Nothing happens until a marital session, a counseling session, where the therapist writes down that the Dr. Ford said there were four boys in the room. And now Dr. Ford says there were two boys in the room and says the therapist made a mistake. Therapists don't make those kinds of mistakes. That's an amazingly traumatic experience. All right? They don't make those kinds of mistakes. So I'm presenting evidence that Dr. Ford herself has confirmed, not evidence that Bill O'Reilly's pulled out of the air. And I'm just saying to myself, if you look at the pattern of what she says happened, and then you look at who she has hired to represent her, the most
and who she is,
I mean, progressives in the country,
you
can't not draw a political implication. It's impossible.
So you did the civil, you know, the civil court,
yes,
which convicted O.J. Simpson. The standard in civil court is just a preponderance of evidence, not beyond
a
reasonable doubt.
That's what I wanted my listeners to evaluate, because in criminal court you can't do it. Number one, there were no charges filed, all right, and number two, there isn't one shred of evidence from that night. She doesn't even know where it happened. So how could you possibly have an investigation? How?
And you also have a pattern in recent history of one woman saying something, which opens up the floodgate for all these other women to say something. There hasn't been anyone.
Did you see the Hollywood ad put out by Move On? Did you see those actresses, Julianne Moore and those other people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depressed me. I go, are you American citizens or what? I mean, what are you doing? And everybody says Salem witch hunt, Salem, Salem. This is Salem. This is exactly what happened there.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com will continue our discussion here in just a second and get his opinion on what happens next. What does he see coming next week with the hearings and testimony? Bill O'Reilly, just would like to know if this is one of those days that you say, man, I wish someone would take the president's phone away from him. He has just tweeted, I have no doubt that if the attack on Dr. Ford was as bad as she said, charges would have been immediately filed with local law enforcement authorities by either her or her loving parents. I ask that she brings those filings forward so we can learn the date and the time and the place. Should the president be tweeting and getting involved in this?
I'm not sure. I think that, with all modesty, he did that because he read my message of the day yesterday, which said exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
They monitor me. May I read you two paragraphs of today's BillO'Reilly.com message of the day?
Sure.
And I'll read it slow so Stu can keep up.
All right.
The Judge Kavanaugh-Christine Ford case is now expanding to the midterm election. There is no question that Dr. Ford's lawyers, working with the Democratic Party, are trying to embarrass Republicans and bait the party into denigrating the accuser. So this situation is no longer solely a possible criminal act designed to derail a nominated Supreme Court justice. Now it has become a national election issue designed to cripple President Trump. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, Trump took the bait. He took it. Now, you have to ask, is that a good or bad thing? I believe that the tide of public opinion is turning against Christine Ford at this point, Friday. That could change by Monday. But right now, I think that people are saying, you know what? We've had enough of this. We have had enough of the accusations, and there are so many holes and arrogance. We won't do this. We won't do that. You have to do this. Americans don't like that, Beck. They don't. They're standing back. They want to know what happened. They want the truth. But I'm telling you, I'm feeling the winds change here.
Okay, so I would agree with you. I just had dinner here in Los Angeles with somebody last night who is a liberal. Everybody here is a liberal. And he said, this Kavanaugh stuff is nuts. It's crazy. I don't believe her. He said the Democratic Party, if they continue to do this kind of stuff and run left, he said, I don't know who I'll vote for. He said, if they run Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, or Elizabeth Warren, he said, I can't vote for them. I can't vote for any of those people. He said, so I don't know what I'm going to do. And this is coming from a guy who works in Hollywood, and he's a Democrat.
Anything. He better not say anything.
No. He's
right. His job will be right out the window in that totalitarian thing out there.
Yeah.
Look, what you're having now is, I would never say that I don't believe Dr. Ford. I would never say that because I don't know.
Correct.
And I'm a fact-driven guy. So far in this conversation, which I think has been excellent between you and me,
yes.
We have presented facts. We have stayed away from speculation and politics. Facts, okay? And that's what everybody needs to see. But once you get into a position where your radical left attorney, all right, a woman who disparaged Paula Jones and stuck up for Al Franken, when that woman is telling the Senate Judiciary Committee, look, this is what you're going to do. You're going to do this, or we're not showing up. Once you get there, fair-minded Americans are going to say, you know what? Blank you. And that's what's happening.
So Bill, what are the ramifications if, you know, she put all of these ridiculous restrictions, you know, that Kavanaugh has to testify before her?
Yes. I mean,
that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So,
but they're shrewd in the sense that they put Grassley, the head of the Judiciary Committee, in a real vise. Because if Grassley says, you don't tell me what to do, then he doesn't want to know the truth. Then he's persecuting the victim. Then the Republican Party don't care about women. You see?
Right.
Set it up that unless you do it my way, that you don't care about.
Here's what I would like everybody in Washington to start caring about, and that is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which boils down to care about all humans. Care about every single American and their rights. This has huge, huge ramifications. If because I think personally, we are down now to the whole country is going to watch. If she cries and is sympathetic, the sympathy will change. She doesn't need any more evidence. It's now just down to which one is more sympathetic, which one is puts on a better show, and coupled with which one will the media get behind. We already know the first one.
That's going to be.
Right.
That's a good point. But I think there's a little bit more to it than that, because I think the battle lines are hardened, and I think a lot of people have already made up their minds, even though I think they should keep an open mind on this. But I think a lot of people have said, you know, she's making it up or he did it. But you have a situation that is out of control and being used now, not only to derail Kavanaugh, but to get Trump. And that's what people ought to know. That connection is now being established. I'll go back to the first thing I said. Who is paying Dr. Ford's lawyers? Who is paying them? And, of course, the press would never ask that question or bother to look, because when you find out who's paying, you'll see that it is a arch leftist group and big money's going in.
All right. Let me change subjects. Kind of. Let me go overseas. This story broke yesterday, and I saw an op-ed from Jonathan Turley on it. the far-right political leader, Marine Le Pen, has been ordered into psychiatric evaluations after she posted graphic images of bodies of people executed by the Islamic State. She was accused under French laws, criminalization, different forms of speech, laws that are rolling back free speech all over the continent. Posting the pictures meant she was charged now as circulating violent messages that incite terrorism or pornography or serious harm human dignity, and that can also be viewed by a minor. She also posted pictures after the Paris terror attacks of the images of the U.S. journalist that had been desecrated or decapitated in that attack. And she wrote, Daesh this. She's now being brought in to see if she knows the difference between right and wrong and can answer questions truthfully, if she knows what reality is. Then she's going to go to trial, and she could receive 9 years for posting accurate pictures of what Islamic extremists do to people. Any thoughts?
I think it's a great opportunity for Ms. Le Pen, you know, because people are going to say it happened, and she's warning us of what this group is capable of. So why are you making her a martyr? So if she wants to be Joan of Arc, you know, I'm keeping it in France, thank you, she can be. So you use the insanity of, I see what they're trying to do over in France and other countries. They don't want to incite people against Muslims so that they're not beat up on the streets. I understand. It's almost like our legislation here, our hate crime legislation here. But Le Pen, and she's a shrewd person, she'll use this for her benefit.
Okay, so wait a minute. Hang on. It's not like it is over here, because you could post pictures of the Klan lynching people, and as long as it's clearly marked, this is what the Klan is, that's nobody's going to do anything about that.
No, no, no. But there are laws on the books here where you cannot threaten somebody. That's what I meant. So if you're walking down the street and there's a Muslim person, and you go over to the Muslim person and say, you're a member of ISIS and you ought to get out of here, and I want to hurt you or something like that, you'll be arrested. You can't do that. So that's what the law in France is designed to stop. They don't want that kind of confrontation to take place. Britain has it too. So you're in a position now where, yes, are they impeding freedom of speech and expression? Certainly they are. They don't value that on the continent as much as we used to. I don't think we do anymore, because our totalitarian left is wiping out free speech. You know, if you, to go back to the Kavanaugh for a second, if you speak out and say, you know, I may not believe this, then you are attacking women. All women deserve to be believed. I mean, that crazy senator from Hawaii, Mazie Hirono. Kavanaugh did it. And don't you dare say he didn't do it, because if you do, then you're attacking women. I mean, come on. That's where we are, and that's where we're heading, into that area where you can't even question an accusation or an allegation anymore. And if you do, then you should be punished. If you question it, you should be punished. And Maisie will be the first one to try to do that.
It is, it's truly frightening to see how close we are to being dragged over the threshold back into the dark ages, where
Stalinism.
You could be... Oh, yeah.
Stalinism.
You're,
I mean,
exactly
that's
right.
What people, they don't understand that in a totalitarian society, you are not allowed to dissent. And in Hollywood, Beck, you're sitting in Hollywood. Are you allowed to dissent if you work in the show business industry, Beck? Are you allowed?
No.
Okay.
No.
If you're in the Democratic Party, are you allowed to vote for Judge Kavanaugh without having your campaign funds cut off by Chuck Schumer? Okay?
No, you're not. No.
You're not. You're not allowed. That's Stalinism. You're not seeing that on the right. As crazy as some of those right-wingers are, you don't see that kind of "you're not allowed." But you see it on the left, and it is openly accepted by the media. You are not allowed to walk into the New York Times newsroom if you are a reporter wearing a Make America Great Again hat. You are not allowed. Everybody should know what's happening here. It is frightening, and it's going like a speed train.
It really is. It's picking up speed, going faster and faster. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. And Killing the SS out October 9th. Buy it with Beck's book. Get those two right in your house.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Bill.
Okay.
All right. I want to talk to you about FilterBuy. FilterBuy is our sponsor. There's so much crap in the air. And, you know, that's what the filter is supposed to do. Instead of just recirculating all of the crap, honestly, this is so gross to me. The dust is dead skin. All of that stuff is supposed to be filtered out so we just don't keep blowing the same stuff through. It also is captured in that filter. And that filter, if you don't change it, what happens is it forces your air filter, your air handling system, to work harder to suck the air through that dirty filter. That's really hard and expensive in the end. We're supposed to change our filters, I don't even know. What, every 6 months, every 3 months? I don't know. More than I've lived in my house now for 6 years. If it wasn't for my wife, or we hadn't had, you know, HVAC problems in the past, I don't think I would have even thought about changing my filter. I'm a little lazy anyway. But my wife says, "Gotta change the filter." Okay, dear. So you go and buy one. Here's an idea. FilterBuy.com, America's leading provider of HVAC filters for homes and small businesses. They'll make them custom. They make them here in the United States. They've got like 600 different sizes. They'll deliver it so you have it tomorrow. But also, they will save you 5% if you just put yourself on a list that says, "My air handling system says I need it every 6 months." They'll just send it to you every 6 months. So, you know, you open up your door, there's your air filter. You're like, "Oh, crap, it's been 6 months already." And you change the air filter and you're done. That is convenient. That's the way you should be handling your air filter. So you're not thinking about it all the time. FilterBuy. They'll save you time. They'll save you money. You'll breathe better and save you a huge expense on your HVAC system, because it's working too hard. FilterBuy.com. That's FilterBuy.com. Go there now. FilterBuy.com. Welcome to the program. It is Friday. We're glad you're here. I've been reading some of the reviews now that people have had a few days with the book, and I'm just thrilled to read the reviews, and thank you so much for the support. The sales so far look to be really good. We have no idea until next week, but we're very grateful that you would take the time and your hard-earned money and read the book. It is, I think, the most important book that I have written since Common Sense. Get the audiobook, download it on Audible. It's really good. I worked really hard on this book, but then I went in and did 35 hours. It runs about 15 hours, but it's really good. Especially if you listen to audiobooks, this is a great audiobook. And you can grab it at audio or Audible or, you know, iTunes or wherever. But it is Addicted to Common Sense. Please read it. Please review it. I would love to hear your thoughts. Next week, it's Addicted to Outrage. You can get it. And next week, I want to start hearing from people. I want to start reaching out to you if you've read it. I'd love to hear your questions or your thoughts or your arguments. Addicted to Outrage. It's available everywhere, including Audible.
Glenn Beck is coming live to talk about the right path forward and to make fun of the people standing in the way. He might not be able to save the country, but at least we can all go down laughing. Glenn Beck Live, the Addicted to Outrage Tour. On tour this fall.
Glenn Beck.
Well, here's another victory for the tone-deaf feminists here in America. Manspreading is now on the decline. Meanwhile, Muslim women in India have just been given the legal right to have a say in their own divorce. If you're a Muslim woman under Sharia law, you can use the triple, I think it's talaq. And what that means is, I think it's pronounced talaq. Excuse me if I'm hitting this wrong, but it's talaq, 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 which means I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. You say it three times, Beetlejuice shows up, and you are divorced. But it's only for the men. Well, now Indian women have been saved from the triple talaq. It's now been outlawed as a form of instant divorce in Islam. Until now, Muslim men have been legally allowed to instantly divorce their wives just by saying, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. How's that for women's rights? How's that for human rights, for that matter? By the way, just so nobody's upset, I want to break in with the news again. Manspreading is down here in America. It's down. Men are not sitting like they used to as much as they used to. It's still happening. Yes, you're still oppressed. Things are horrible. But it is on the decline. Why haven't the fourth wave feminists like Linda Sarsour taken to the streets to protest the vile treatment of women in places like India? I know, it's such a stupid question, because we all know. We all know, she knows, everybody around her knows. But it is worth mentioning that the bill faced a lot of opposition, both among the public and within the government, meaning that there is a problem of widespread systematic misogyny in India. You remember Hillary Clinton speaking to the people of India and talking about how racist and sexist we are here in America? Widespread systematic misogyny in India seems like something that protesters from the Kavanaugh hearings should be, you know, riled up by, on account of their convictions to fight the patriarchy and the oppression of women, because they are concerned about those things, right? Because I can tell you a country, a region, really with habitual government-wide oppression of women, I think is much bigger than a problem that we're now facing this week of he said, she said with Brett Kavanaugh. You know those dramatic outfits that the protesters are wearing, you know, for the Kavanaugh hearing? You know, they're dressed as the handmade tale. That took a lot of work from women here. And it's shameful. It really is. And of course, they're all convinced that it's coming here in America. But do you know that Muslim women throughout the Middle East, Asia, they have to wear those? And in fact, it's much worse. And they have to wear it on a daily basis. And it's starting to spread all over the world. See, the difference is here, you went to a costume store and you rented that, or maybe you made it yourself and you didn't have to ask your man to take you to the fabric store to get the fabric. You just made it. It's not dress-up time in other countries. It's actually a living hell for women. Millions of women. Tens of millions of women. Does anybody in the feminist movement actually care about women? Or do you just want to use women so you can gather enough people to flood the streets so you can all scream, Orange Man, bad!
It's Friday, September 21st. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't want to talk about the details of Kavanaugh because I'm tired of talking about it this week. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing new. There's new perversions of the system, but there's no new facts to this. In fact, facts that we started with on Monday were very few. But some of those facts have been withdrawn from the people who stated those facts. saying that, well, they were empowered by the internet, and now they have to retract it. They've deleted those posts. They've deleted those testimonies that I heard buzz when I was in high school. In fact, the one who wrote that, after being asked to be on all kinds of shows, she said, "I was empowered by the internet. I didn't know that I was going to have to answer to this on all kinds of TV shows. I don't know what happened. I had to delete the tweet." But then she said, "But it accomplished everything I wanted it to accomplish." What was it you wanted to accomplish? What is that? I know people want to win. And there is real evil that we're facing. This is evil. I really think, you know, anytime you are trying to destroy someone, and that becomes more important than the facts, because we don't have any facts. Any fair jury that is not on the left or the right, we get an alien. We get the smartest group of people, women. We get the smartest group of women ever born. We reanimate them. They come back alive, but they have no idea what is going on in our society today. They just know the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and they know the judicial system. And we give them the facts that have been outlined so far. But they don't have a horse in this game. They're still rubbing, you know, the dirt out of their eyes. They're still rubbing the dirt out of their eyes. If we give them the facts, do you honestly believe they would say anything other than, "Yeah, but what are the facts? Where did it happen? Do you have another witness? Wait. So she only told one other person, and it was the psychiatrist, but even that story that he wrote down, is he a competent psychiatrist? How did he write the story down incorrectly? It's a pretty big deal. How did he write that down? And if he made that mistake, is he credible now? And that was the only time she said anything. The story is different, and she never mentioned him before. What does he say? Well, dead ladies of America, you know, you former geniuses that have been in the ground that we've just done a Frankenstein with, let me just tell you this. Next week, the accuser is going to testify, and so we're going to answer all of those questions. But she's only going to testify if he answers the charges before she testifies. Wouldn't one of the dead smart people say, how can he answer to charges that he hasn't heard yet? Wouldn't another dead person say, "Wait, you guys are still, you're America, right? You're still using the Constitution?" Yeah. And you got the jury thing? Yeah. I mean, I always remember, maybe you've changed it. I always remember the prosecution goes first. Because when I was alive, you were innocent until proven guilty. No American had to prove their innocence. Someone else had to prove their guilt. Yeah, I know. Well, we're still doing that in the court, but we're not doing that in, you know, in real life. Wouldn't another dead smart woman that from the past that we reanimated say, what do you mean you're not using that in real life, only in the court system? What's the difference between that and real life? Isn't it more important to be able to make decisions in your everyday life? Isn't it more important? Otherwise, couldn't you just smear anyone? Then I think we might, not necessarily, but we might, if we have reanimated Carolyn Bryant, she might step to the plate and she might remind us of something. And you'd say to yourself, we're not going to reanimate Carolyn Bryant. I mean, why? Until you remember who Carolyn Bryant is. I'll give you a second to catch up on that. And then I'll talk to the dead people in our little jury and try to guess what those dead people might say and might want to remind us of in a minute. You ever taken your car in for an oil change and the mechanic finds something wrong? Hey, that's perfect, because I don't have the money now to pay for that. So can you not do that to the car, please? Because, you have to, or it won't drive anymore. Perfect. I remember driving down and seeing the check engine light and being on the highway, and the car breaks down, and then you're there, standing there. Now you look at that car engine light and it warns you. We're not breaking down necessarily on the side of the road, because it warns you, get into service right now, something's wrong with me. But you would break down, and if that check engine light goes on, most Americans, they know, I can't afford that. No. You need an extended vehicle protection, a shield. Car Shield provides them. You don't have to worry about the unexpected surprises. If your car breaks down after the manufacturer's warranty expires, you could be out of pocket for thousands of dollars to get it fixed. Replacing your engine can cost thousands. A simple repair, a sensor can cost you $1,000. CarShield makes the process of fixing your car for a covered repair super easy. You can have your favorite mechanic do it. The dealership doesn't matter. It's your choice. You're not waiting for the money. CarShield pays them directly. They also provide you with 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car when yours is being fixed for free. If your car has 5,000, 150,000 miles on it, doesn't mean you have to pay the high repair bills. CarShield administrators are going to pay that for you already. They've paid $2 billion out to Americans already. Save yourself thousands in future car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle protection like I did before something goes wrong. Call 800-CAR-6100, 800-CAR-6100. Mention the promo code Beck or visit carshield.com and use the promo code Beck. Save 10%. Carshield.com, promo code Beck. A deductible may apply. Put a council of dead women together. Dead American women. Okay? Because, we can go to space and we can get an alien to come down and look at what we have. Or let's take Americans who understand us but are completely removed from politics. Completely removed from politics. So I'm gonna dig up a couple of women from the past and I'm going to ask them to help us understand the Judge Kavanaugh situation. And the first person I'm going to bring back to life is Carolyn Bryant. And I just want to ask her what she thinks of us just taking the accuser's testimony and saying that's the only thing we have to go on. Should we believe just the accuser, even if the evidence is thin? I think Carolyn Bryant, now maybe in 1955, if I bring her back and she only remembers 1955, she might have a different answer. But when she dies, 2008, she comes out at the end of her life and says, I lied. I lied. Emmett Till did not grab me by the waist and utter profanities at me. See, the mob went and killed Emmett Till. They beat him to death. Beat him so hard, one of his eyes popped out. Then they took a bunch of stones and they threw him in the water and they just tried to submerge him, but eventually they found him. He had an open casket. He had an open casket because his mother just kept saying, no, I want people to see what they've done to my boy. The reason why justice was never served there is because of Carolyn Bryant. She's the one who said he whistled at me. And then he grabbed me by the waist and uttered obscenities. She lied. I think Carolyn might say, you know what? Let's have a little more to go on than just the testimony of one. Or how about we dig up Rebecca Nurse or Sarah Good? They're just two of the victims in Salem. Everybody believed little girls. I mean, they're not going to lie, right? They've seen witchcraft happening. This is a witch. And then, of course, you've got a few other people, like the doctor, who says, yeah, you know what? I think she's right. I think she's telling the truth. And, you know, you have some of the other prominent citizens. Why was the mob so wound up? Testimony on people who were lying, but seemed credible at the time. Didn't have any evidence except, you know, of course, magic. You know, a cow dying. You know, a neighbor tripping. That's, of course, you know, all due to spells. So I think Rebecca Nurse and Sarah Good might say to Americans right now, you know what? The rule of law and the social norms that you've always had to where when it's he said, she said, you don't call it either way. And if there is political motivation, money involved, and there's no evidence, you probably should not make a move on anything. How about Rio Soto? Rio Soto was an artist. She had just put her art into one of the big San Francisco museums. And then December 1941 happened, and she was Japanese. She was an American. She was born here in America, but she looked Japanese. So, of course, she was dangerous. And what happened? Before December 7th, 1941, about a year or so before, FDR, who was a racist, didn't trust the Japanese, didn't trust any Americans, no matter if you were born here or not. If you look like that, you got to be with them. He sent the Pentagon out to the West Coast and said, can you find out, what's going on? I think we need to put them in an internment camp. The report came back and it was very clear. No. They're very American. You know, there are some groups out there, but they're very small. But for the most part, the Japanese are with us. They don't like this guy. Well, as soon as he had the excuse on December 7th, he disregarded the advice of the study because of his personal view. And he whipped the nation up into a fury, and the mob followed along. You know, maybe we should dig up the 22-year-old Najiba. She didn't really have a trial. Well, kind of had a trial. I mean, it's Sharia law. And there's a trial there. And here's how it works in Sharia law. You know, something that, something that the founder of the women's movement is for and advocates, Sharia law. Linda Sarsour loves it. Well, we should dig up Najiba because she was committing adultery. And when I say adultery, you might describe it as rape. But see, here's the great thing about Sharia law. If a man rapes a woman, the man's not at fault. It could have been the hijab. It could have been that even though she's covered everything but her eyes were telling him, I want you, you want me. And the man couldn't control himself, so he had to rape. Now, if he wants to call it a rape, and he's prosecuted, well, then it is rape. Could be adultery, but that's her fault again. You know, if she was luring him. Are there any witnesses? Well, it's him against her. And if there are witnesses, well, it's him, but his testimony is worth more. In fact, there have to be three women to equal his testimony of just one. Let's bring her up and say, should we just believe
Glenn,
the one Beck, person that Mercury. Has the power? So earlier, I said, let's bring some dead people back to life on the, some sort of Frankenstein jury and just ask them, what do you think of this Kavanaugh thing? And, you know, I just don't want to pull any woman from the past. I want, you know, somebody, can we get anybody who, you know, understands civil rights one way or another? And people on both sides of the aisle, but they have seen this kind of thing before because they might have something to teach us. And I put Carolyn Bryant on. She's the accuser of Emmett Till. Let's bring her back to life. What would she say about believing the accuser? Well, seeing that her deathbed confession was, I have to tell you, I lied. She might say, you know, the accuser is not always right. Any woman that we brought back from the dead, recently, freshly dead, who's been stoned to death by Sharia law because the men have the power, might say, wait, slow down. Don't listen to the accuser. Or don't listen to just one witness, especially if you can't refute that because the entire thing is stacked against the woman. That's not what we have here. That's what they want you to believe we have, that the whole deck is stacked against women, but it's not. I think they would say facts first. Here are the facts. Here are the facts. And if they remember the facts, well, then we put an equal amount of credibility and we look for other facts. But we don't just listen to one witness or just pit him versus her, because then it becomes about who has power, who is more valued in society, or who the better actor is. Witch hunts? I think they would all say don't go along with the mob. McCarthy hearings? I think they would say, don't necessarily listen to the accuser. They might be under duress. They might have another reason for calling me out. Japanese internment? There was no evidence at all. In fact, the evidence was the other direction. Every single time, we do things where we're not looking at the facts and we're not saying, look, give me the facts, and to be able to do this to another human being, there better be a lot of facts, because I'm taking away their freedom, I'm taking away their life, I'm taking away their right to pursue happiness. Remember, that's our motto, that's our mission statement as a country. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We're not talking about his life. We're not talking about Kavanaugh's liberty. He's not going to jail. We're talking about his ability to work. Based on what? His reputation is going away. He will not find work. We're saying you can't pursue your happiness and be on the Supreme Court because there's one person who doesn't know any details that is saying this. This is dangerous because it happens to all of us. When it happens to one, injustice anywhere is a injustice everywhere. I mean, just a few days ago, it was, you know, we have to at least listen to her. We have to at least hear what she has to say. Okay. Now, just a few days later, it's, how dare you ask to hear what she has to say? He's got to answer first, and then maybe she'll say, but you're not going to ask her questions. How dare you? This is an upside-down world that looks an awful lot like the Red Scare, witch hunts, looks an awful lot like Emmett Till, looks an awful lot like Sharia law, does not look like America. Let's slow down here and apply principles that we all know are true. Pat Gray from the Pat Gray Radio Roundup is on with us now. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Glenn. There's a lot of outrage, and rightly so. I think you'll agree, because the left is, they're loving, they're inclusive, and no doubt they're in the right. Because, I mean, he obviously did this. Look at him. Some of the messages that the family is getting, you know, the law enforcement, the CIA, has said that told CNN that the family's gotten credible threats against their lives.
Can you imagine?
His wife got messages like this. Please tell your rapist, lying, cheating, corrupt bitch of a husband to put a bullet in his ugly effing skull. My condolences to you for being married to a rapist, although you probably deserve it. F you and your rapist husband. F you, rapist enabling C-word. Your husband is a liar, thief, rapist, and probably a pedophile. Burn in hell, you worthless effing C-word. One of the worst was, may you, your husband, and your kids burn in hell, you effing pieces of trash. Eat crap, I'll say.
So I don't think they said crap. And I wonder, how do you burn in hell if you don't believe in God? I mean, I usually the people on the left don't believe in God. So burn in hell really is kind of an empty thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Although I'm, it's gratifying to see how inclusive they are and how loving they are and, you know, how tolerant they are, because I'd hate to see what would happen with them if they weren't. Wow. I mean, we don't know anything about this woman. Nobody knows anything about this woman. The Democrats that are defending her have never met her. They don't know who she is. They don't know what she's saying is true. They don't know anything about it. And yet, everybody's jumping in to defend her now, and everybody's jumping all over the top of Brett Kavanaugh. By the way, what is the allegation of being a thief? Where does that even come from? Several of these people are calling him a thief and a liar, and I mean, where is all that stuff coming from? A pedophile?
Does it matter?
Wow. No, it doesn't. None of it makes any sense.
So let me ask you this. Because you know that the accuser is also getting these kinds of emails.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people are doing this. Pat, have you ever been this convinced of something with such little evidence? I mean, let me ask you this.
No.
Are you defending Kavanaugh to that level?
No, no way. No way.
Right. Why?
Because I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know him. So right. There's no evidence yet. We haven't had.
Right.
You know, there's been no due process. So you can't possibly know.
Would you say, where are you right now on his nominations? What should happen?
Right now, I think he should be nominated or confirmed.
Yeah. Okay. Me too.
Yeah.
If she comes out and she says, okay, I haven't said anything until now, but here's the videotape and the picture of him doing this. Any doubt in your mind that you would say, oh, good God, that guy shouldn't be on the Supreme Court?
No, of course not. Of course, everybody would say that.
Right. Everybody would say that. Mm-hmm. All Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the people who are living their life with such certitude that they can damn people. They can threaten people. They want to put everybody into a box that you are just a horrible, horrible rapist human being.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, wait a minute, I've believed some things. I don't believe other things. I weigh them individually. I think the evidence on Keith Ellison is much stronger. I mean, you look at the Keith Ellison stuff.
Did you see how many people believe him?
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, 5% believe that he did it. 5% of Democrats believe he did it.
Okay, so here's the note from her doctor, okay?
Yeah.
This is one of the notes from her doctor in 2017. She states she's in a very stressful environment and has been for years, with emotional and physical abuse by a partner with whom she's now separated. She didn't have any physical injuries that required a physical examination. She identifies the individual that she's involved with as Congressman Ellison, and she's worried about retribution if she identifies him publicly. She feels that she is extricating herself from the relationship, and she feels much better and healthier now. So here's documentation. They have tweets. They have video. They have people that she worked with that she would go, look at this tweet. Mm-hmm. And her friends would say, oh, my gosh, you got to get away from this guy. And yet only 5% of people who are going to the polls for Keith Ellison believe all of that. And yet they're willing to condemn Kavanaugh.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, 100%. It's and on the other interesting element to the Kavanaugh or to the Ellis thing is a couple of weeks ago when she said, look, I shouldn't have to show you the video. You should just believe me. Well, that created some doubt in my mind for Keith Ellison. I don't have a lot of certitude even with that one. But people can jump all over Kavanaugh for something that supposedly happened 36 years ago that he categorically denies, and so do many of his friends and girls that dated him. And there's a lot of people on his side that say there's no way he did this, but they believe he did.
And by the way, he made those claims under oath.
Right.
What's going to happen to Brett Kavanaugh in his career? Not only if he did this, but if she would appear and present evidence that he did it, he lied under oath.
Yeah, he's done.
It's not that he's not going
to jail.
Yeah, he's not just being dismissed as a Supreme Court nominee. Mm-hmm. He will lose his judgeship and he might go to jail. Testifying in front of Congress under oath and lying? You know, I know the Obama administration gets away with it, but I doubt that Brett Kavanaugh would get away with it. And I think he's smart enough to know that.
Yeah, he loses his career if he's guilty. I just don't I don't believe she has any of that stuff. I don't believe she has any kind of.
Do you think
proof.
It's going to matter if she gets on Thursday and she's emotional and she cries and she is very, very credible? Do you believe that the Democrats will treat her testimony as they did with a very credible witness who was crying? The last woman that accused Bill Clinton that was so credible, what was it? Juanita Broderick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're going to treat her like they
like
treated
Juanita Broderick?
Right.
No, I think there'll be a little bit of difference there. Just a little.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's interesting to listen to her now, too, because everybody's saying that the FBI should investigate everything Kavanaugh's ever done. And she's been saying, if you're going to do that, why don't you start investigating what I've been saying about Bill Clinton for 30 years. How about that? And it's been longer than 30 years that she's been making these claims. Plus, she made them a long time ago. This woman just barely came forward.
Well, it's, in the case of the Clinton accusers, they only came forward when he was about to be president. Oh, no, wait. Not all of them did. Others.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pat. Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio Network coming up in about 15 minutes. You don't want to miss it. This weekend, a special podcast Saturday. We have new podcasts on Saturday. This is all fresh, new material. This weekend is an amazing interview with Michael Reckenwald. He is the author of a book called Springtime for Snowflakes. He is a former NYU professor. He was just kicked out of NYU. Because he started standing up. He's a guy who wrote white papers for the communists. He was a communist and he saw what's happening and he decided, wait a minute, I think communism's going to end up the same way it always has. These people are going to kill people. No, thank you. He's been speaking out, of course, ostracized. His first nationwide interview is tomorrow, only the podcast. glenbeck.com. You can find it wherever you download your podcast. Subscribe, review, and rate, please, because that helps other people find it. Subscribe, review, and rate. Podcast tomorrow, Glenn Beck Podcast. Sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe, the home security system that I have in my home. It is really, really good. My son-in-law actually installed it. By himself. I shouldn't say that. I was there. I was sitting on the couch doing nothing. But as all men know, your wife was most likely reading the directions because you didn't. it wasn't too hard to figure out. This is one thing where you really kind of don't need the directions. It's all instinctive. You install it. It takes you about a half an hour to install everything. You're going to save a buttload of money. This is state-of-the-art technology. It's simply safe. Plus, $14.99 a month is all you're going to pay for the monitoring if you want it. And you could have it 1 month and cancel it for the rest because there's no contract. So it works and is designed and is controlled really by you. Top of the line, save a ton of money. Keep your family and your valuables safe with SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com. It was 14 years ago today, in the afternoon at 5:24. I don't remember dates and times and things like that very often. 5:24 sticks out to me. It was the moment that my son was born. And he was handed to me by a very brave teenage girl who decided to give her son up or her baby up for adoption. She was and is a superhero in my mind. That is one child that was saved from the butchers because she had the strength to carry the child and then give the child away. Rafe, happy 14th birthday. I love you, son. You're a light in my sky.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.